creative journey. It's easy to get lost, but don't worry, you'll lift off. Sometimes you just need a creative pep talk.
Hey, you're listening to Creative Pep Talk, a weekly podcast companion for your creative journey. I'm your host, Andy J. Pizza. I'm a New York Times bestselling author and illustrator, and whether I'm illustrating for clients like Apple or Xbox or creatively pep talking folks at places like Warby Parker and Sesame Street, I aim to make stories that make people want to say yes to life. I'm also ADHD, which means it takes a whole lot of creativity just to get by, and this show is me sharing all the stuff that's helping me do that, in hopes that it might help you build a creative life too. You hear a lot of people say, people just don't want to do the work. And I don't think it's that they're lazy or don't want to do the work as much as it is, they don't know if this work is going to work, if it's going to pay off. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's hard to keep going when that fear is looming over everything that I do, that it doesn't matter how much time I pour into this thing, at any second some tech change or economic change or skill set change or trend change just means all this work is just rendered obsolete. And so if you have a debilitating doubt that anything you're doing matters at all because the world feels upside down, this episode is for you. By the way, if you stick around to the end, I'm going to share a tool from the business consulting world. It's a matrix.
Do you want to know what it is?
But you can't. I can't tell you what it is. You're going to have to see it for yourself. And to see it, you're going to have to stick to the end of the episode. It's going to help you see past the fear and doubt and spot real opportunity that is hiding in your creative market today. Let's go. Really needed to rehaul my website. I was talking to some web people, looking around, and I got intrigued by Squarespace's new Fluid Engine, partially because it just sounds cool, but also because it allows you to drag and resize and layer up anything you can imagine. I dove in, rebuilt my site. It's the most me site that I've ever had. I just absolutely love it. Launched it. Got such a great response. Some industry illustration and designy peers even reached out and was like, hey, who coded this thing, man? I'm like, y'all, I did it by myself. No coding with Squarespace's new Fluid Engine. I told him, like, you should go check it out. You're going to be surprised with what you can do. And I built this thing before Squarespace reached out to sponsor the show. So I was like, boom, easy peasy. I was going to tell you about this new site anyway. Go check it out, AndyJPizza.com, if you want to see what I did with it. If you want to try it yourself, make a site that's totally you, where you can build a portfolio, sell content and courses and all kinds of other stuff, head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with promo code PEPTALK, all one word, all uppercase. This episode is supported by In the Making, an original podcast brought to you by Adobe Express, the all-in-one content creation app included in your Creative Cloud membership. If you are trying to boost the YouTube, TikTok, Reels content side of what you're doing, one episode of In the Making that I think will be super useful to you is their episode with John Yushai. I think John's method for including his audience in the process is really inspiring. And if you want to hear about that and more about leveling up your game in the creator economy, just search In the Making in your podcast player to listen. Many thanks to In the Making and Adobe Express for their support. What do you do when the fear of your world being completely turned upside down has you immobilized? I feel like that is a very relevant question, because that's a fear that has become increasingly disturbing to me as a creator over the past few years. And when I talk to other creators, it seems like we're all feeling this way. The past 10 years have been unprecedented to the point where that's become a joke that we all long for the precedented times. And I am with you in that for sure. You know, these feelings like, why move to the city when the corporate skyscrapers are empty and we don't know what the heck we're going to do with them? And we did a meeting and we're like, hey, we could turn them to housing, but the laws aren't set up to do that. So we can't do anything. We can't repurpose them. It feels like you're climbing up a mountain and you just feel like, man, how can I keep going near the top when any second the world could flip upside down and the top becomes the bottom? Why get a degree? Why learn new software? Why learn Instagram Reels and TikTok? By the time I do, this hot new thing is going to come in and destroy it overnight and I'll be right back at square one.
Check it. This is Grizzle Vibe.
Like, why even try? Now, most people know this. It's something you probably learned in second grade. It's not even juicy enough for me to call a fun fact. It's more like a mildly entertaining fact.
Mildly entertaining fact.
I mean, even 2000s indie pop legend Ben Gibbard knows that when you see things, you really see them upside down, but your brain knows better and picks them up and turns them around, right?
Turns you around.
It's this idea that your eyes hardware technically puts everything into your brain upside down, but your brain knows that the world is the other way around and it flips the image just in your psyche so that you can navigate through the world and make some progress in your day. Now, you probably already knew that. Like I said, it's not that much of a fun fact, but here comes a truly fun fact.
Incoming truly fun fact.
Did you know that there have been these studies where they put these glasses on people that reverse the image again so that what you're looking at into the world does look upside down? But in a matter of time, like for some people, just a few hours, your brain will flip the image back around. It's bonkers. It's like a crazy superpower.
This kid can turn
the world right side up again in just a very short amount of time.
Yeah, man.
Believe it. It's real. You can do this too. And I know it's hard to believe because no matter how hard you try to prove to yourself that you will be able to figure out how to flip things back around.
My life got flipped, turned upside down.
And navigate that new world. And it's really hard to believe because no matter how hard you lay in bed at night and try to dream up every scenario and plan for it and figure out how you would navigate it, you can't do this on command.
I can't do it on command.
He can't do it on command.
So even though you don't have the power to do this on command and imagine imaginary upside down scenarios and figure out your way through it, you have the capacity. You contain the power. No matter how many times things get flipped upside down, you are built with the hardware to navigate your way through it. Now, you're not probably one of those people who was part of this study. You may have never had that experience in your life. You may have never seen the world literally turned upside down. So you don't have the evidence that your brain is capable to find a way to make it through and to make progress. But when you find yourself doubting that it's worthwhile to take another step, and instead of making creative work, you are in that survival place of fight, flight, or more likely freeze and do nothing. If you've been in that zone recently, because you feel like the world's been flipped over or it could be at any moment, believe that just because you can't on command in any anxious future scenario that you're cooking up in your mind, flip it back around and find a way through it, you can know that when it happens, you will be able to figure it out because your whole brain and hardware and software is wired to do that. And every step you take up that mountain, therefore, has to be an act of faith that your hidden abilities to navigate whatever comes your way will be unleashed the moment that you need them. And so when you try to take another step and you hear that voice in your head that says, what if this doesn't work? How do you know if you're going to be able to figure this out? You say, I don't know, because it's just
a leap of faith.
So I don't know if you've been feeling this way, but I have been feeling that way. I've been feeling like the world feels pretty upside down to me lately. And the temptation is to bury your head in the sand and just try to block it out. But imagine you're wearing those upside down glasses. How are you going to get your mind to flip things back? Well, you're not in control of making it flip it around. It's a subconscious, unconscious behavior that you can't force to happen, but there is something that you have in your control that is the only way that your mind can do what it needs to do, and it's this: you have to open your eyes. Because if you keep them closed and you shut out the world out of the fear of change,
you can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lord. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lord. You
guys. Enough!
Your brain is not going to be able to do its magic. It needs to take in the situation, the reality as it is, long enough to flip that thing around. You can't make your brain fix it the instant you want it to figure it out, but you can open your eyes right now and take in the world just as it really is. And I've wanted to hide in my introverted hole and give up and make a nice blanket fort and just shut out the world and watch Netflix and play video games. But when I watch the world, I start seeing signs that things are holding new elements of promise. You know, AI was this big catalyst for the writers and actor strike, but the discrepancy in pay between the creators and the people at the top has been something that needed a strike for years. And sometimes it makes a situation has to get really, really bad before anybody will actually take action on anything. And so that's the silver lining, is that there's tons of things that these people should be striking over, tons of things that have been going on for years. And so even though AI kind of tipped it over the edge, the silver lining is a lot of change needed to happen for a long time. And I look at people like Taylor Swift, and I'm not personally a Swiftie, but my daughter is. And I watch her taking back her creative power and ownership by re-recording all of her albums so she can own her masters. And it makes me feel hopeful. She turned it into an event, this moment of taking back the ownership and the profit of her work. And it gives me a ton of hope. It makes me think that artists have been forced to take ownership of their work. And it's been a long time coming. And as AI makes things more and more complicated and slicker, it gives me hope that art that is going to prevail will be more and more broken and less slick and more human, because that's my taste. That's what I love anyway. And for me personally, you know, the best way I've heard it described is I saw some tweet somewhere that I can't locate. I don't know where the source is, so you can send it to me and I'll post it on Instagram or something. But somebody said, like, we've had pianos that could play themselves for years, for decades, and guess what? Nobody's watching them, because we don't care how precise and how perfect a piano can play itself. We want to hear the broken human play it in its broken way. And it makes me have hope that as a society, we will realize that art isn't about impressing people. It's not about how perfect you can do something. It's about how much humanity can you transfer from you through your art to somebody else. And it makes me feel hopeful that we'll learn that better than ever when the robots come to take our jobs. But it's hard to see these things as they are sometimes if you don't look at them in a new way. If you don't have a new frame, you need new glasses, new lenses to make it clear. And there's a framework that I came across that I actually had somehow learned about in high school, maybe in an economics class or something. I don't even remember taking economics. I don't know, but I'd run into this a long time ago, and it's the BCG growth share matrix. Sounds super businessy, but it's actually just a little chart with cool pictures of a dog and a cow and a question mark and a star. It's really...
Ooh, a star.
It's really, I promise, fun. But I ran into it again recently, and it was just really striking for me and kind of helped me organize all the things that were going on in my creative practice and all the things that were going on in the world to help find where the real opportunities are and where are areas where I need to maybe prune out some of the things that aren't working anymore. Okay, so this is your creative call to adventure today. It is to organize your practice through the lens of the BCG growth share matrix. So the BCG growth share matrix, what is it? BCG, if you don't know, is Boston Consulting Group. I actually had the opportunity to go talk to some of their teams last year. It was a really interesting experience, really fun. And I was excited to be there as, you know, a creator type, being invited into the business world in a place that's kind of iconic as the Boston Consulting Group was a really fun and interesting experience. But they have this thing called the growth share matrix. And the whole idea, I'll try to describe it to you visually, so you can kind of see it in your head. And you can actually see it literally if you go to creativepeptalk.com/growth. You can download our pretty version of it. If you go look online, you'll be able to find it. But if you want a Creative Pep Talky looking one, go check that out. And you sign up to the newsletter and you get that free. So go to creativepeptalk.com/growth and sign up, and you could look at it either while I'm going through it right now, or you can do it later after you've heard me explain it. Basically, it has two sides to it. One is the share of the market, and the other side is the growth of the market. The share of the market is how much of the market do you own? You know, if you're Coca-Cola, you have a huge share of the soda market. If you're the new Starry soda, you have a much smaller slice of that pie. The other side of this matrix is the growth of that market. Now, soda, there was a time where in history where soda was popping off, no pun intended, just stumbled right into that thing. You're welcome, Connor. My editor is a big pun person. But it was popping off, man. Soda was new, fresh. There was a huge spike and growth in that market. But nowadays, like most people that like soda have found it, lots of people are probably drinking less soda. There's not a ton of growth in that market these days. Now, the seltzer market has had tremendous growth and probably slowed down a little bit in the past couple of years. So there was a time where it was time to jump into the seltzer world. But that time it's probably still a good market, but not as good as it was. And we have this, you know, we have this in creativity. We have this in terms of the market, whether it's, you know, a great time to get into video, creating content on YouTube or TikTok, whether it's short form or long form. But we also have it within markets like music, maybe as a whole, pop music is really, really saturated, and it's really hard to get any share, any size share that's worthwhile in that market. However, if you break it down into genre, there are growing genres within that market at any given time. And so you can think about it like that as well. You can break it down that way. Now, for me personally, this is really useful because it gets at something that I've tried to articulate a bunch and wasn't this clear until I rediscovered this framework. Because for a lot of people that look at my creative practice, it would be easy to think that I'm just somebody out here chasing my dream, encouraging others to chase their dream. But for me, it's a lot more nuanced than that. It's much more like a Venn diagram between your dream of things that you could feel really excited and enthusiastic about doing, and the another sphere that is, where is there opportunity? You know, when I was growing up, really what I wanted to do was pursue comedy, and I wanted to go do improv and be on Saturday Night Live and all that kind of thing. But then when I was about 16, I discovered indie music and band posters, and it was this really fresh thing that I'd never seen. I didn't know a ton of people that even knew about it, but I watched these folks make a living and a business on making these incredible screen printed band posters. And I knew that it fit within this other circle of things that I thought I could really do this. Like, this matches my talents. It matches my dreams and enthusiasms around creativity. And there's a real opportunity here because there's an up and coming growth market. It's relatively quiet still, so I think I could get a piece of the pie. And so I pursued that really hard. But by the time I got out of school and launched my portfolio, guess what? That whole world got turned upside down and there was much less opportunity. It was a market that started dying out pretty quickly. And I was climbing, getting ready to get towards the top of the mountain, working with some of my favorite bands, when all of a sudden it got flipped over and the top of the mountain became the bottom of the valley. And at that place, from that vantage point, though, I could see that some of those people that were making this really interesting, flat, mid-century type work made the leap from band posters into kids' books. And I thought that might even be more squarely within that overlap of the Venn diagram of my dreams and what opportunities are really there. And I started pursuing that super hard. But I wouldn't even have seen that opportunity if I wasn't deep within the market. Honestly, I'm watching my younger brother. He's doing a lot of work in coaching and basketball and all that, and he's getting some interesting opportunities. And I can see that it's happening because he's just immersed himself in that world for a couple years, even though it wasn't clear how any of this was going to pay off. And so sometimes you got to start climbing that mountain and be on the trajectory. And by the time it gets flipped over, maybe you're halfway there, but now you're halfway up a different mountain. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And so one of the things I've always tried to articulate is I'm not just out here wildly pursuing dreams that are towards markets that are completely overgrown, where there's no demand. The supply far outweighs the demand. I'm also trying to navigate it through this matrix, through this lens of where is there market growth and where do I think I may be able to have some of the market share. And so here's how that works. That matrix breaks down into four squares. Now, where there is no market growth or very little market growth and you don't have any of the share, that's called a dog. And we all have these parts of our practice. We tried to get into something. We were really excited about it. But before we could get anywhere, before we could get any piece of the pie, the market quit growing. And those are the dogs in your portfolio. And you got to cut those things out. Sorry, doggies. So where you have a decent slice of the pie, somewhere you've already established yourself, but the market isn't growing, you don't have to cut that out. You don't have to look into the future and be like, this thing could dry up tomorrow. If it's not dried up today, continue to do that work. That's a cash cow. That's something you're just continually making money on, a predictable market stream. It's an essential part of building out any business. Now, a place that gets interesting is a place where there's market growth. Things are happening, but you don't have a big piece of the pie. A great example of this, this is called a question mark, by the way. A great example of this would be TikTok, maybe a couple years ago, probably even just even still now. There's a lot of market growth. There's a lot because there's always these different things happening. It's still evolving pretty rapidly. And so you don't have a big piece of the pie, but the market's growing. That's a place where you want to invest. You always want to be having a test kitchen or a side project or a side band where you're trying out something that's happening right now. It might be a scenario where you're in the 80s, okay? Maybe this is, maybe you've come from the past, listen to this. I don't know what I was trying to get at. But the scenario would be, you know, you're in the 80s, people are starting to make music with computers, and you have a rock band. You're not ready. Like, it's too fresh. It's too new. It's too untested. You don't want to completely isolate the cash cow of the music you've been playing over the past 10 years. So you start a little side project to invest and learn. And some of the things that you make with that crazy synth pop, glam rock, whatever, you might want to pull some of those lessons over into the main stuff if you feel like you're getting something interesting, if you're getting at something that's really growing and you're getting a share of that work. We see this again, going back to Ben Gibbard, we were talking about earlier on the show. He had a very similar thing where he was doing Death Cab for Cutie. He did this Postal Service record that was all electronica. He didn't bring all that electronica back to Postal Service or to Death Cab, but he brought a lot of the different thinking and writing styles and some of the tricks that he learned from over there. He brought it back to his cash cow of Death Cab. And I'm sorry, Ben, if somehow you're hearing this and you hear me call Death Cab a cash cow, and it's extremely degrading and disgusting, and I was embarrassed as I said it. But I think that there's enough clarity here and interest that I'm willing to, just for a minute, be that crass in case it helps anybody else see anything interesting. Now, the very elusive, very advantageous star that's in the corner of this chart, that is high growth market and you have high growth share. You got into a market as it was popping off, just like Coca-Cola. You invested big time and you're right in that moment where more and more Americans are guzzling Coke until their teeth fall out of their head. And you're just, I mean, okay, this is just corporate America. We don't want to take too much from it. But you're in that moment where you got into podcasts before they popped off. You got into picture books before they popped off. You got into slowcore dance wave before it popped off. Like, and now you're right in the thick of it with big market share and big market growth. That's the most ideal place to be. It's pretty rare for any of us to get right squarely in that at the right time. But that's the reason why you want to have the cash cows, cut out the dogs, make sure that you're investing in a little side project, a little side band, some of those question markets, so that you can get a little taste of that star energy when it happens. And so as all of the changes are happening, you can take all the different arms of your creative practice and you can filter them out through these four buckets and see where they land and get a good eye on them. Look at what are the things that are dogs. These are the things that just, it's not going to happen. You need to put it down. And there are things like that have been like that in my own creative practice that I had to let go of that came back later. So you don't have to throw them in the trash. You can believe that it's not time right now, but it might be time later. What are the things that are the cash cows that you're paying the bills with? You can't cut those out. What are the things that are question marks? It's a good time to invest in those things. And if you have a star, what I would say is triple your investment right now, because even when the mountain gets flipped upside down, you're going to be in a better scenario to make the next move. All right, go check out the BCG growth matrix that we have as a free download if you sign up to the newsletter at creativepeptalk.com/growth. And you can download that, print it out. It actually has space for you to put in the various arms of your practice where you feel they fit. And hope that really helps. Quick, I just want to thank all of you for the incredible support of our new picture book, Invisible Things. You are a huge part of why we were able to make the New York Times bestsellers list, which honestly, we had high hopes. We had a bunch of things we were going after and hoping for, but that was far beyond what we thought was possible, and I really mean that. I didn't think we could make that list, and some really incredible things have already started to come from it, and I just had to pause and take a moment and acknowledge all of your support. So thank you so much for telling people about it, for buying copies, for giving them to friends, and sharing it on social media. So appreciate you. It's a game changer, and we owe so much to you, so thank you so much for giving back to the show like that. Massive thanks to the band Y and Yoni Wolf for our theme music and soundtrack. Thanks to Connor Jones of Pending Beautiful for editing the show so beautifully. Thanks to Ryan Appleton, Katie Chandler, and Sophie Miller for podcast assistance of all kinds. And until we speak again, stay pepped up.